on the app, online, and across the Cape on 567 AM.
Join the conversation with Cape Talk.
Join the conversation with Cape Talk just on 20 past 5 this morning. A very good morning to you and welcome to the show. And yeah, I know a number of people have been battling with making decisions, and it's that time of the year where it's crunch time, all the matric balls happening, everything happening out there, and it's your final year. And you're sitting and you are saying to yourself, what am I going to be doing with my life? Will I be taking a gap year next year? Will I be registering with a university? And is it going to be a private university or a public university? And, you know, parents get drawn into this, into making that decision. Now, there have been many developments in the higher education sector in the past decades, and noticeably a rise in the number of institutions from which prospective students can choose when they're considering their future education. Now, along with the increase in public universities, there's also been a substantial growth in private and higher education sector universities. Public universities or private universities is the question this morning. And how to choose the right institution for you. And we chat to experts. That's our education expert, Dr. Felicity Coughlin, an independent from the Independent Institute of Education. And she weighs up that particular debate for us this morning between public university or private tertiary education. And it's quite a burning question, as a matter of fact, on the back of Fees Must Fall. Dr. Felicity, a very good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
What should prospective students weigh up, you know, when deciding where to further their studies next year after their matric year?
Right. I think one of the most important things they need to weigh up is to keep their options open. It's really important that people are applying at more than one place. There's still quite a bit of runway between now and January. As we know, many of the bigger institutions are oversubscribed. And what you don't want to happen is, you know, to use the old adage, you don't want to have put all your eggs into one basket.
Yeah, and it's a major decision because, you know, we've had Fees Must Fall, which was a major disruption on most of our public universities. And people tend to say, no, hold on. I'm going to send my child to a private university and I'm, you know, to secure their future and things like that. And there are people who are fortunate to do that. The cost of the course would obviously be a factor then in determining the choice of the institute, isn't it, sir?
Yes, I think that that is clearly one of the factors to be taken into consideration. Private institutions don't get any subsidies. So in comparison to some of the public universities, they do tend to charge slightly higher fees. But I think it's really important to be working with facts because sometimes the fees aren't as high as the stories that people believe. And I think one's got to weigh up the kind of cost against the value and the small class sizes, the focused attention. The thing that's really fantastic about South Africa's higher education system is that we only have one quality assurance system. So in other words, if you are pursuing a BA and it's an accredited and registered BA, there's only one way of getting that accreditation registration in South Africa through the Council on Higher Education. So unlike 20 years ago, you didn't have to worry about making that decision on the basis of quality or is it registered or will it be recognized or can I go on to postgrad? Because now, if it is a registered and accredited degree, public or private, you can be assured that it is the same thing.
Chatting this morning to education expert at the Institute of Education, Dr. Felicity Coughlin. Doctor, the distance learning in terms of UNISA and other distance learning colleges, do we see an increase heading that way, especially on the back of Fees Must Fall?
Yes, we do. I think that what is happening is under some of the economic pressure, people are working, more people are working and studying, and also the whole kind of career change reality that sometimes people take a while to decide what they want to do. They start working, they then can't give that up. So there is an increase in distance education. What's really exciting, of course, is how technology has come on board, that the kind of old pack and post where you got a kind of cling-wrapped set of books and then were left on your own is just not the way distance works anymore.
Yeah, that's the way I studied through UNISA.
can you remember that? You got the paper assignment,
yeah,
and you got your books, and then it was good luck and Godspeed.
Yeah, and then what you do before your exams, you get the modules and you get the assignments from the guys who got 90%, and you start studying that. As a matter of fact, the problem here is employer recognition, which is one of the most important things that you need to do when deciding on tertiary education, whether it's private or public, because you don't want to be saddled with a BA degree or a BSc degree and that is not recognized by the employers.
Yes. And this is where, unfortunately, in South Africa, there is still maybe 5 or 6 public universities that people feel are safe. Now, the reality is that in a highly competitive environment, what an employer is checking, first of all, is that your qualification is recognized and accredited. And if you do have one from one of the big publics, that feels a bit easier. But remember that once you get an interview, what matters is what you're presenting. So the kind of questions you're getting asked then is not whether you've just got a degree. So what we're recommending to students is that when you make an application, make sure that no matter where you're from, that the accreditation registration status is clear. Get that out of the way, because the real step to getting a job is demonstrating that you've learned to think, that you've learned to change your mind, that you've learned to be flexible. And that's really what's most important. Employers understand now, better than they used to, that South Africa has over 100 higher education institutions, and they've become quite discerning to try and work out what you know rather than just that you've got a degree.
The problem is that, you know, we have different levels of higher education. You've got universities, you've got your technicons, or the old technicons, which are now called universities of technology, and then you've got your TVET colleges. So where does, let's say, a father and a mother sit down with their child, and how do they sort of navigate this whole situation, and where do they start, and what do they look at?
Okay, so one of the first things you need to do is get information. You and I got into talking about the pack and post thing. What happens in a lot of families is that people revert to the familiar. So I went to a particular public university, so my understanding is that that's the way to go. And that's one of the biggest disservices that you can do. There is so much choice in South Africa. So one of the first things that you need to do is to understand really what that choice is, public and private, and really discipline yourself not to be reliving your life and your choices through your child. Because the options that are available to young people, from TVET through private institutions to public institutions, are just so fundamentally different from what they were even 15 years ago.
How successful are many of these private universities that we have in and around the country?
There's a very wide range. Many of them are very small and focus on very niched areas, and therefore have really enviable relationships with industries, because some of them have in fact emerged out of industries, like out of the marketing and branding space. Others are very, very similar to publics in that they offer a wide range, from the humanities through the sciences, through the social sciences to business. There are obviously, like we are concerned about the quality of some publics, the quality of some privates, obviously it's going to be a range. So what you need to do, going back to the information point of view, is you need to ask the questions. If anybody is at all vague with you, public or private, in answering your questions, if they can't tell you things like class sizes, pass rates, success rates, student support, any of those things, you really got to listen to what you're being told. And if it sounds like a story, then it probably is.
Yeah. And one of the most important things, as a matter of fact, is to do that homework and to do that legwork and to find out exactly what is offered. Because very often we go to university or we choose a private university for our children, and we think that that is in their best interest and what they actually need at that particular point of time. But we don't ask the questions, like you alluded to, all of those questions that one needs to ask. And ask the questions up front so that you know exactly what is happening. And you know where to put yourself.
And also it's about using what's available. I mean, social media. So have a look at the institution's Facebook page. Go onto the campus as a guest. speak to somebody is there. Put out a call on your own Facebook page saying these are the three places I've looked at. Anybody got kids studying there at the moment? Again, we have got so much more available to us that if we're just using the marketing material, if we aren't visiting the campus, talking to other students, it seems to me that particularly in our very busy life as parents, that we revert so quickly to, oh, well, let's look at the brochure.
Yeah.
But the brochure, in a sense, is one of the last things you need to look at.
Yeah, that's the marketing department putting their best foot forward, yes.
Exactly.
Dr. Felicity Coughlin, our expert in terms of education at the Institute of Education, thank you so much. Just gone fine.